Right now, with this completion today, we'll have almost 1,500 pastors from California to the tip of Florida that have gone through this training that get it and that are actively engaged. And we are seeing some substantial changes of direction in several of these states. One of them is in Central Florida. And one of them is a man that has become a very good friend over these last 3 years. Pastor Jack Hillegoss pastors the High Point Church in Lake Wells, and he's got a phenomenal testimony. You are going to be encouraged when you hear exactly what can be done and is being done when you hear the testimony of this incredible gentleman. Please welcome to the stage one of our fellow brethren in the ministry, pastor and mayor of Lake Wales, Pastor Jack Hillegoss.
It's my privilege to be here with you. As Paul mentioned, I have been a pastor for over 30 years, but I was just recently diagnosed with the affliction of politician, and that actually happened to me at one of Paul's conferences 2 years ago. Nobody warned me to wear a mask, and so here I am. To begin with, because I am a preacher, I do want to read a passage to you, just one verse actually, from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is in a series of parables about the kingdom of God, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked its way all the way through the dough." Now, Jesus had a way of using small examples to teach us big lessons and little pictures to frame big promises. And I'm grateful for that. I need Jesus to talk to me like that, especially after you've been through a few days like this where you've heard so many big things and so much information. And some of it can be overwhelming. And that's how I felt after I left the Liberty Pastors Conference in Little Rock, Arkansas a couple of years ago. How do I process this and what do I do with it? There's no doubt that I left with a great sense of responsibility, but I didn't know what to do next. And so this passage has helped me quite a bit. Matthew, the Bible says that Jesus began his ministry talking about the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And by the way, he told us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which for me is the definition of the kingdom. Wherever the will of God is being done, the kingdom of God has come in that place. And he said on earth, by the way, here in our families, in our schools, in our commission meetings, in our local businesses, in our entertainment, we're supposed to be praying, "God, let your will be done here on earth." One of my favorite preachers says that our theology should have dirt under its fingernails. After the resurrection, Jesus will deliver a kingdom to the Father. So Jesus mentions the kingdom over 80 times. So it's his passion and it's our mission. And because it's so big, we are tempted to think that it comes through some sort of sophisticated plan or some in some high-level place with people who have more important positions than we do. But Jesus teaches that it happens in small, common things that we do close to home, like a woman just baking some bread in her kitchen. Now, you don't be mistaken, this lady had big ideas. She's mixing 60 pounds of flour, which means she's going to feed more than just her family. I think she probably had her whole village in mind, 60 pounds of flour. So that got me thinking, maybe I could just do something in my community. Lake Wales is not a large place, so maybe I could just start doing something close to home. And it reminded me that the kingdom of God doesn't come, and it cannot be stopped by rich men north of Richmond. It comes through normal people in their hometown, and what we do every day in our kitchens and in our living rooms, and most importantly, in our local churches. So it took me some time to learn that. And so I hope that you'll learn how some of these big concepts can be taken to your local congregation. So my story is this. I was a poster boy evangelical pastor. I was the officially ordained program director for a local church. I was conservative, pro-life, pro-marriage, but I rarely addressed those issues. And when I did, I always made sure that all the usual assurances and qualifications were provided. I made sure to say, please don't be offended, before I said, thus saith the Lord. And our church was involved in our city, but our engagement in our city was the usual PR stuff, seeker-sensitive churches do. We were the church that painted the school's library, but we never questioned the books that were on the shelves in the library. And we would clean up after the city's parade, but never protested the pride float that was in the parade. You know, we all know this stuff. We know how we can serve in ways that will get the city leaders to pat us on the head, but not throw stones at us. And I want to insist to you that my motives were good, but my theology was shallow. I was the poster boy for most evangelical pastors today. And that all began to change in March of 2020. My wife and I were on our way up north for her grandmother's funeral in Illinois when over the radio we heard our president announce that we were shutting the country down for 15 days to slow the spread. And even though I wasn't very engaged, something in me knew that is not right. That should not be happening in our country. And I didn't know why. And when my members came to me for leadership, I had no answers. And when I turned to those who were supposed to be leading me for answers, all I could see was this fear-based acquiescence to this. And then came George Floyd and the summer of anarchy in our country. And again, a screaming for someone to speak about this in the local church. And the leaders of my tribe were all silent. And when I did turn to them, they were posting black boxes on social media and woke scolding anyone who expressed the thought that maybe looting and burning should not be happening in the cities of the United States. The Jesus of the Gospels was replaced by a progressive Jesus, and he sounded very much like the Jesus that I had been preaching for so long. And I could only turn to secular authors, because nobody in my pietistic history had ever talked to me about the biblical roots of government or a biblical view of politics. And the national chaos began to bleed into my small town. Outside groups began to agitate against our police force. They actually organized protests around our police station. They were showing up at commission meetings demanding that we fire our chief. We actually had the Department of Justice in to investigate our chief. It came to light that there was a wealthy patron from outside our city who was working with our high school principal to a backdoor CRT curriculum and supplemental material of our kids. We had an extremely contentious superintendent battle with a lot of woke crazies that were coming. And this was happening in Lake Wales, for crying out loud, as close to Mayberry as I think you can get. In 2021, we had municipal elections, and two actively anti-police candidates won by less than 50 votes each and took control of our city commission. After the rigged elections of 2020, I got a call from a friend named Steve Maxwell, who is the founder of Citizens Defending Freedom, and he asked me to come and be a part of a meeting in his office. And we went around the table. There were a lot of important people. I still to this day wonder how I got invited to that meeting. But the question was, what do we do? What's the answer? And I was last in line, so I'm listening to all these great answers. And when they got to me, the only answer that came to my mind was the church. I think the church is the answer. I still believe that with all of my heart, that the local church is the answer. But I knew I had to find some way to engage my church, not in the safe, acceptable ways that had earned us the pat on the head. So I just decided to jump in, which, by the way, I'm glad you're here. I wouldn't recommend doing what I did. I just went back and started, you know, going full bore at these people with all this stuff I was reading and with the pulpit and the pen and everything I could learn. And again, while that was happening, my friend Steve sent me to an American Renewal luncheon in North Carolina. That's Dave Lane's group, and they're trying to get pastors to run for office. Pastors to run for political office. Craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I wanted nothing to do with it. Thank you, Steve. I'm leaving with my family now. And then Steve started sending me videos of this crazy guy named Paul Blair. And I'm watching this Paul Blair guy in the safety of my office in Lake Wales, and he asked this question: what part of your life is Jesus not the Lord of? That's the only part that you're not allowed to preach about. And here's the funny thing. I started preaching really good biblical message about politics and found out how many people in my church didn't like it. You're too political. You're going to hear that, by the way. By the way, if you do this, get used to being called names. After a while, you start to enjoy it. It's kind of a sadomasochism, I think. But I just got an email the other day, actually, in my motel room, opened it up, and the word Nazi was used 15 times in three paragraphs. I want to send them a thesaurus to help them find one other insult for me, please. But I felt better. I was doing my job. In the summer of 2021 in our little town, after that contentious election, the lady that had won seat number 4, which is my district, got arrested for a felony. And they had to appoint someone to fill the seat. And so I got appointed for an 8-month stint on the city commission. And immediately, you know, had to face some things with the police and then begin to be pressured by some of the local citizens to consider running for mayor of our little town. And I held that at arm's distance. I didn't want to be the mayor of Lake Wales. And two things happened. I went to a political event in Sebring. Nobody in Sebring knows me. And so I was able to sit in the back row. And as I was, there was a gentleman there named Webster Barnaby, who is one of our state legislators, who preached about or talked to us about how he felt called to political service. And I walked out of that meeting that evening, and as I was headed towards my car, I got a text from the chief of police of Lake Wales, and all he said was, "Thank you for being willing to serve. You don't know how much difference your presence has made in the atmosphere of our city." I rarely opened my mouth, honestly, folks. I was trying my best to lay low, but that caught me. And so I climbed into my car, and I had a 45-minute drive home, and my idea was just to listen to the radio. But as I reached over to turn it on, I heard a voice, and every one of you pastors has heard this voice. You know when God wants to have a conversation with you, and all I heard was, "Don't turn the radio on, you and I are going to talk." And so for all of the way home, I heard him telling me, "You're going to run for mayor of Lake Wales." Now, I said to him, "Lord, that is so pretentious and that is so arrogant. I don't have any business running to be the mayor of Lake Wales," but you never win an argument with God. And so I ran. And what I hoped for was my obedience would end there, that I would be thoroughly trounced and that would be the end of my political career. But we had some folks that got really active in helping me win that race, and I became the mayor of Lake Wales. Now, on the run-up to that, before the election, I attended my first Liberty Pastors event in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I was thoroughly convinced after that. I want to tell you that while I was there, and you have found this out, I learned a deeper understanding of the battle that we're in. I got a vocabulary for expressing that battle to the people that I lead so that they could understand it biblically. And I got a strategy that I could implement in my local congregation. And that strategy was preach the truth to your people, all of the word of God, all of the counsel of God. Start a Salt and Light group. I hadn't heard about Patriot Academy yet. Find a way to get your children out of public schools. Preach, start Salt and Light, get your kids out of public schools. Take that measure of leaven back to your local congregation and start doing some kingdom cooking in Lake Wales. That was my idea. And so we went to work at High Point Church in Lake Wales. Like I said, I ran for mayor and I won. And so I was elected. I was seated in May. And 6 weeks later, I had to refuse to sign the Pride Proclamation for the first time in the city history. So it came before me as the mayor. I'm the only guy that gets to decide what proclamations get read. I wouldn't read it. That was a fun meeting. And we have... So we have 125 seats in our commission chamber. I counted them because I try and fill them all now with friendly people every month. But the place was packed, and the lobby was packed, and we had drag queens out in the parking lot, and Bay News 9 News was there. And our state legislator, who's a very liberal man, came because he intended to speak, and again, because I'm the mayor, I govern the meetings, and the rules are, if you're not a citizen of Lake Wales, you can't speak. So I got to stand in front of our state legislator and say, "You won't be allowed to speak this evening." That was a lot of fun. And so, So I tell you that to tell you this. There are 17 municipalities in Polk County, and in 2022, we were the first one that refused to sign the read the Pride Proclamation. But this last year, in 2023, seven of our 17 cities refused to read that proclamation. And our county commission refused to read it, and our school board refused to read that proclamation. I've started preaching every year. Now, if you preach the whole word, you can get to political issues just about any Sunday if you want to. But every year between Memorial Day and July 4th, I do a series on some aspect of God and government. This year we did Beyond Red and Blue. We do voter registrations in our church lobby during that series every year. We have candidates visit our church who are running for office. We host candidate forums. We started a Salt and Light group in our church. Gentlemen, when they say find someone to help you run that, absolutely do that. We got a great guy named Jim Abney who does that for me. And I want to encourage you, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't be discouraged if a whole bunch of people don't come out of the woodwork. We went from 5 to 20 for over a year. 5 one week, 20 the next week, and then but we would do a Bible study. We would have guests come in, people that were running for office. We would do sexy stuff, like take them on field trips to the water commission meetings. So they understood how local government works and why it's important. We would discuss the local the agenda of the upcoming commission meetings. And we would say, this is one you need to be there. And if I could get 125 people to take every seat, and they would be praying over our commission meetings, sitting in those chairs. Now, I tell you all that to say this year we learned about Patriot Academy, and we started Patriot Academy. And this last month, we've been averaging about 110 people every Monday night at our Patriot Academy meetings. And if you get somebody that will run this for you, I'm here. And this last Monday, our Salt and Light group ran a candidate forum for us in our church. I wasn't there. Jim put it all together. We had a state senator, state legislator, county commissioner, two city commissioners, the police chief, and a school board candidate there to do a forum in front of our church people. And we had 205 people show up for that that meeting. We, in our Salt and Light group, we teach our people how to run for office. You need to run for office, and you need to find people in your church to run for office. And so right now, we have six people at High Point who have now won elected office on either municipal or county level. And another thing I get to do as the mayor is I get to appoint everyone that serves on the volunteer city commissions in the city of Lake Wales. So I've filled 13 seats, all with local church members, most of them from High Point. So, and then what we found out after my election the next year, we had another one come up. We had two seats available. They were critical seats. And we realized that most municipal elections are won by 100 votes or less. And so we started looking into the data precinct by precinct and which precincts we need to mobilize. We had two seats up for election. We put that strategy in place. Our folks put the strategy together. We've went out and recruited Christian conservative candidates to run for the two city council seats. Both of them won. So now four of the five seats, number four seat is mine, is one of our church elders now holds that seat, and we won two others. Four of five seats are now held by Christian conservatives in the city of Lake Wales. Three of them are pastors, by the way. So it worked so well that we thought, hey, there are 17 municipalities in Polk County, and we looked, and most of them, 3,500 votes or less in a municipal election, most of them less than 300 votes. That's one good-sized congregation. That's one. If we could get one church in every municipality to activate to try and win a municipal election, so we're doing something called Project 17. When I get back on Saturday, we're meeting with four candidates who are going to run for seats in Winter Haven, which is a neighboring city. But our goal is to take over a Christian majority in every city commission in 17 municipalities in Polk County. So let me talk to you about education. This is the most important thing generationally, I think. The kingdom of God begins in the cradle and in the classroom. And we began by what Paul was talking about. We were just hosting homeschool co-ops, and we still do that. We have two now that use our facilities at different times. But in the spring of 2023, our governor signed House Bill 1, and so tax dollars now can follow students, which is a great piece of legislation. And so we started Providence Academy. And that's a private K, it's going to be a K through 12 school, it's K through 5 now, with 93 students. And they begin every day, and I go in there every day at 8 a.m. and watch them. They march the kids in, they do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the pledge to the Christian flag, they say a prayer, they get a memory verse for the week, and that's the way they start their day. I got a text from one of the parents, a picture of the homework assignment that their child had brought home. And this was the question that he showed me. This child spelling and vocabulary assignment. Question: Jesus will establish a kingdom for 1,000 years that is called a blank. And the answer is millennium. And I don't care what your eschatology is, but that's fantastic homework assignment for a kid that's going to school. Jesus will establish a kingdom for 1,000 years. What's that called? And the kid has to know what millennium is. Each child is receiving a Christ-centered education from a biblical worldview. Excellent education with a lot of personal attention. And when we dedicated our staff in front of our church the day before we opened the school, we prayed that God would raise up future senators, legislators, maybe even a president of the United States would come up through Providence Academy. But again, that's all down the road. It's going to take some time for our little bit of leaven to work its way through our entire country. But every morning at 8 a.m., when I see 93 K through fifth graders walk into our sanctuary and pledge allegiance to the flag and to the Bible, I see leaven working its way through a big piece of dough. So for now, we're just working in our kitchen and we're just serving our community. So I'll end with this. The local church, you people are the hope of the world. And Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to the church. And he said that he established us to reveal his wisdom, his manifold wisdom, to the rulers and authorities in high places, the local church. And so every local church is an embassy of the kingdom in your community, and every Christian is an ambassador to the king. So here's the plan, and you've heard it, so I'm just going to reiterate it to you. Become a Black Robe Regiment pastor. You will need the fellowship of being a part of Liberty Pastors. Commit to preaching what you've learned. And if there's anything that I've done that would be helpful to you, I'd be happy to share it. Start a Salt and Light group. Pray for a leader to run it for you and stick with it for a while. Run Patriot Academy in your church. It's been a home run for us, and it will ignite a fire in your church. Get connected to Citizens Defending Freedom. They will help you. When they say that they'll show up if you're in a dogfight, they will. They've done it for us. Check out Public School Exit. Pray that God will help your church find a way to get your kids out of public schools. And then win some local elections. And some of you really need to think about running for office. And I know how crazy that sounds, but you can win and you can make a huge difference. And if you can, get some folks in your church to run for office. By the way, I'll tell you one more story and then I'm out of here. So while I was running, I was invited to one of these big political events. I didn't fit in at all. A bunch of high dollar people and really powerful people, including one of our former state senators. And I was a wallflower, and as I started to try and exit discreetly, the state senator grabbed me and got some information about me. And he said, "Well, you're running for mayor, I understand." And I said, "Yeah, it's kind of silly, isn't it?" And he said, "Well, how long have you been a pastor?" I gave him the answer. And here's what he said: "If you can run a church, you can run a city." State senator said that to me, and so I'm going to say it to you. If you can run a church, you can run a city. So that's the recipe I would recommend to you folks. At least that's mine. I hope it works for you. And so go home and start cooking.